Rambam. We are now in the Rambam Hilchas Maaser Karbonos Perek Ches Halacha Hey, Chapter 8, Law 5. And we've talked about this very unique mitzvah of the Korban Chatas. If you recall, yesterday, we said when the blood is, and the animal is slaughtered, and the blood goes into the, Okay, so the special law, where once the animal is slaughtered, and the blood goes in the ministering vessel, from that point, when it's in the vessel, until Zrikas Hadam, at that specific point, blood that leaves that vessel and goes onto someone else's garments, those garments must be washed. And that's a Torah edict as such. And it must be washed in the Azara. It's only by a korban, chatas, behema, an animal, not a bird. It could be a chatas, it's either burnt or eaten. It's got to be only at that specific time when the blood is in the ministering vessel, has not yet been sprinkled, only in that little period of time. Then if it gets onto some clothing, that's absorbable clothing, you have to wash the clothing. So in Halacha Hey, more details. It goes now from Halacha Hey through and including Halacha. Halacha Tes Zion. All right? These 12 more halachas. Nites al or hadog. What if this blood spills on the hide of a fish?
How did fish get there?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a hide. It's a garment. It's a garment. It's a fish shirt.
They're not wearing fish shirts in the Beit HaMikdash.
Yes.
You ever smelled a fish shirt?
Made out of fish material.
But that's...
Doesn't matter. That's what it is. Okay? Remember, well, not only Kohanim are the base of Mingus, Yisraels were.
They were fish jackets?
From the Bahamas. They came from the Bahamas to the base of Mingus to bring a Korban Chatas. And he wore his fish shirt.
Yeah. Okay?
Right? Ain't a tonku kibbutz. That doesn't have to be washed. You know why? Levishena royal akabal tumah. Fish hides are not makabal tumah. One of the rules we said yesterday, the garment has to be able to be makabal tumah, even though this blood is not tumah blood, but it has to be makabal tumah. Avolim nitas al or behema, but if it gets sprinkled on the hide of animal hide, leather. Now depending when, which could be leather, but not leather exactly, because you'll see. Actual hoof should, if the skin has not been stripped yet, ain't a ton kubis. You don't have to wash it because it's not yet roy to be makabel tumo. But acher shehuf should, but once it's been stripped off, even though it's not full leather yet, ton kubis, it has to get washed. Even though right now Shana Makabal Tuma, it's not leather right now that could be Makabal Tuma. But Harehu Royal Makabal Tuma Lach Shabbat. After you work it over, and you, what's the fancy word for that? It's called tanning it. You tanned it into leather, then it could be Makabal Tuma. So right now, so it's not a din of being Makabal Tuma, it's not Tuma. It's something that's Roy, obviously, has to absorb. Yes. Okay. Now, let's now say other cases where, now remember, when you're shechting the animal, right, and you got the kli right there, right?
Right there.
And you're shechting the animal from the neck,
all
over the place. So, vav, ni tazminat savar ala beged, let's say the blood goes direct flight from the neck, the neck to the garment.
Yeah, not to the bowl. Not the kli shirt.
And not into, well, some of it goes into the kli.
But not ricocheting.
It's going right straight from the neck. Ala beged. Oh, me al kerner izech. Or let's say from the keren of the mizbeach, from one of the walls of the mizbeach. O shenishbech adam ala risper. Let's say the blood after got shechted was on the ground. Vasovan, he gathered up blood from the ground. And the needs of it goes on the garment. So it came from all kinds of places, but not from the bowl.
No.
Eina ton kibus does not need to get washed. Remember, it says, Va'asher yizeh midamo, that which will be sprinkled from its blood. Lo marti, the Torah only said it, ela bedam sheniskabu klisharis, only blood that's been collected in a ministering vessel. V'roila said it's worthy for sprinkling. And v'yesh bukadeh azor, there's enough blood that can sprinkle. So anything that falls on the ground, anything like that, it's not worthy for sprinkling anymore. So therefore, it will not make the garment require washing.
If a drop comes from the vessel, then you have to wash the whole thing. You don't
We said, you only wash the part of the garment that's dirty, not
the whole stain. blood.
Just the stain. That's it. That's it. There's other stains you don't gonna wash.
No, catch up. They have
what I'm saying
mustard,
is, if some of the blood came from the vessel and some came from elsewhere, you have to wash the whole thing because you don't know which is which.
Well, you have to. Well, I don't know. You'd have to figure it out. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Zion, what if Nasan Arba Matas? Let's say you put the four sprinklings, right? You remember with the, with this, you're sprinkling
two
it, right? All four, or with the Chatas, it's four different sprinklings.
With the Ola,
right?
It's two that's four.
With your hands, right?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
So anyway, but then, so now you've done the sprinkling. The sprinkling's over. Then the remaining blood that was in the ministering vessel now spritzed onto someone's clothing.
No.
Ain't a tone kibbutz does not need to get washed. Even though you didn't spill the remaining blood into the base. Remember, there's a few steps. First, you put your hand in the blood, sprinkle it there. Two, three, four. Now you take the remaining blood and pour it into the foundation.
Right.
Now, even though you haven't poured that into the foundation, it doesn't matter because you've already done the sprinklings. V'chein b'chates hanisrafa. So it is also with the korban chates that are totally burnt, and their sprinklings are not on the mizbeach. They are in the heichal, different place in the heichal. Same rule. Once the sprinklings are over, done. Even if it's in the ministering vessel and we haven't poured the rest into the base, it no longer requires washing the garments. Now, how about if you're in the middle of your sprinkling? In other words, let's say you've done sprinkle number one. Okay, sprinkle number one. And there's some residual blood on your hand after sprinkle number one.
Okay.
So let's look at Ches. You'd still need to do three more sprinklings. You're not done sprinkling. Nitas me'etzbo. So now your hand has got blood on it. You put it on the wall.
There's residual now.
And now you got a little bit more blood. Now remember, you were supposed to get it off by the side of the
vessel.
Bowl.
The vessel.
Right. That's right. But instead, you flicked it. Just from your hands. It just went onto your shirt.
Oh.
Like that. You don't have to wash that garment. Why? Because Sheshiore Hadam, Shabbat, any remaining blood on the fingers from the sprinkling, Sulin Lazoi is now no longer able to sprinkle. So it's got to be like this. We've now really narrowly defined this. It's sprinkable blood. Yeah, sprinkable blood that's in the ministering vessel. Okay.
It's come from it.
Like it means there's still sprinkling to come, and it's in the vessel.
Right.
That's it.
But if it's on
my fingers, and I've already done a sprinkling with it, this is leftover blood now.
Yeah,
nothing
residual.
Doing. Even though what's in the ball still can affect someone's clothing.
Yes.
That's how clear this goes. Okay. Now, how about transferring from garment to garment? Test. Nitas mina begel beged sheni. Let's say you got real sprinkling blood, real deal on this garment. Not this garment's got to get washed. But then from this garment, some blood goes off onto another garment. Ain't a beged a sheni ton kibbutz. The second one does not need it. No, because it has to come direct out of the bowl into there. How about nitas al beged tomei? What if the blood goes onto a beged that is already tomei? Also, ain ton kibus does not need to be sprinkled as well, for various reasons that the commentaries explain. Okay, now how about another interesting?
If it's soaked through your shirt onto an undershirt, that undershirt would not have to get washed because it didn't come.
No, because it came from a second one. Right. Exactly. Now the next halacha is not going to be a chiddush, but it's setting us up for the chiddush. Nitas dam chatas al habeged. So let's say some blood of a chatas gets on your garment. Okay? And then after that, and that's the real deal, sprinkable blood. And then venitas al dam chatas amchun. Then other blood, random blood, goes right on top of that spot.
This is Paul's question.
Ton kibbutz. You got to wash it.
Yeah.
Because it already needed from the first blood that was on it. The second one doesn't take it away. That's no chiddush because it already needed it once the first blood was on it. But the point is the opposite. Avolim nitas dam hachulin. What if blood of chulin goes on this? Regular random blood. or afilu dam ola, or even of a dam of an ola. But this rule is only by dam chatas. Right. So he got some nice ola. Cohen did his service. He brought a korban ola. Boom. There's a spot of blood right on ola blood right over here on the shirt. Then second korban chatas. Venitas olav dam chatas. Now he shechs the korban chatas. Now he's got blood out of the bowl, and from the bowl goes right on the exact identical spot where the old blood, not in a different spot.
No.
Not in 1 millimeter more.
No.
It's within that same area of the first spot.
It's exact.
Then Ain't Kibus does not need to be washed. Why? Surely, it didn't get absorbed into the garment. It's on top of the blood that's already not high of blood. Okay. Halacha Yud. When you wash the place where the blood is, you wash it with water really good. Until there is not a mark of blood at all. Now, you try to do that.
Is this the tide, or what are they recommending?
Water. But we're not done yet. We're not done. Now that's step one. Now step two. Now, let me just give a little introduction. A lady, if she sees blood on her garments, and it's possible, it could be damnida, it's a kesem, but she doesn't know. She knows it's blood, but she doesn't know if it's human blood or it's just a red dye.
Yeah.
Now, if it would be red, it would be blood, she'd be anita. But if it's just paint or something, then she's not anita. So how would it do? How would you know even if it's human blood to begin with?
Don't they have the chart?
So there's a special 7-step procedure of using 7 detergents that are able to remove blood. So when you put the 7 detergents on the stain,
they have little kits in the
if it removes the stain, then you know the stain was blood, and then she'd be Anita. If they don't remove the stain, you know it's not blood, but it's something else. So now, when you wash this stain with water, if that water doesn't do the job, now you're going to take the 7 ingredients afterwards, and that darn well will get it off. And that's what he says next.
V'chol, both human and animal blood? Is that
it sounds like?
Yeah, I guess so. V'chol shiva sasamimonim shemavir nol hakesem. And also the 7 types of detergents that remove a kesem, mavir nal damchat, you take off the damchatas, and they are spit, and then when you chew beans, the liquid that comes out of that, urine that's got very, sitting around and gets sour, then boris, another type of detergent, neser, kimonia, and ashlag, all different types of detergents. So anyway, those are the 7. So those are good potent blood removers.
Sheesh.
Okay. Now, but one little problem, and they're usually done one after the other. But which one would not be proper to use in the basement?
Urine
would
can't
not
use,
be a good thing. So Rama says, "Chutz mimei raglaim, except for urine." Shemachnisim mei raglaim. You don't bring urine into the basement. Okay. However, the commentaries do say. But if you mix the urine with the other ingredients before you go into the Beis HaMikdash, and you've got a bunch of these ingredients, you could bring it in because it's not urine per se. It's a mixture of detergents, et cetera, et cetera. So I made a little mistake. Yud is the end of these halachas, these unique halachas of the blood on the garments. Okay. Now from Yud Aleph, we move on through Tes Vav, a second unique halacha. Now, why the Ram brings this next is as follows. By the Korban Chatas, it says, blood on garments have to be washed in the Azorah. Then it says another interesting halacha as follows. When you have an animal that you could shecht and that you the meat has to be burnt or eaten, whatever, there's a certain time frame that you have. Most of them are you shecht in the day, you can eat the animal, whatever animals can be eaten. There's certain chatas, for example, that can be eaten. You can eat it that day and the night until chatzos, and then it's no sore. And that means it's got to be burnt. It's bad news, got to get it out.
Next day.
Shlomim will give you a little more. We'll give you day, night, and the next day, but then by the next day, it's no sir. Now, so that means that, like, that you're not supposed to let it be at that state. You're supposed to burn it before, but if not, it is no sir. It's like, not exactly, it's like treif, so to speak. Now, here's the issue now. Now, a lot of these, this meat, you know, you just don't eat with your hands.
No.
You use dishes.
Yeah, cutlery.
You eat on a plate, cutlery, things like this.
Like a mensch.
Now, think about this for a minute. The plates now absorb that meat taste that goes into them. Now, that meat taste that goes into them is going to be a major problem because when that time of nosar comes, there's nosar in the balua, in the absorbed part of these utensils, which is a problem. So therefore, depending on the type of vessel that you have, and we're going to get into this discussion, you've got to, so to speak, now the Beis HaMikdash, it works a little different than in your home with the laws of kashrus, but you've got to, so to speak, kosher these utensils and best before the time limit comes up to purge it out so there's no nosar in balua. Now, not every vessel can be purged, such as earthenware.
That's hard.
Earthenware, therefore, will need to be broken.
Oh.
And you're going to have to break those utensils that are earthenware. So we're going to find this is a unique halacha in certain ways to the Korban Chatas again. That's why we're mentioning Korban Chatas. However, we will see as we move on in the Rambam that this idea applies to other Korbanos as well, but with not the same severity of restriction. So, to recap, we've already discussed the idea of blood from a Korban Chatas animal that comes from the bowl onto garments has to be washed. That's unique to Korban Chatas only, to your Korban Chatas animal. The very next pasuk then says, by the Korban Chatas, says the utensils got to be washed or broken as required. That is stated by Korban Chatas. However, the Gemara learns from certain deductions that will apply some of those laws to other korbanos, even though we did not apply the thing of the blood on the garments to other korbanos.
Does nosar exist on other korbanos?
Yeah, but it's not. But the Torah says it by Korban Chatas to break the utensils. We will apply it to other korbanos, but to less of a severe extent. So let's start over here.
We learned that, you know, when we were in Israel with
yes, Ira, he said a bunch of broken vessels.
That's where they found the broken plates at this extent over here, and that's how far that people would watch and be able to see the
right. Now, again, another important rule, this washing, where do you think the washing will have to be? In the Azara.
Has to be
in the Azara.
Same
but, not, but that will not be, that's going to be one of the lax things by the other korbanos, because not all other korbanos have to be eaten in the Azara. Let's say shlomim can be eaten outside the Azara, so now you can wash it outside the Azara.
Right.
So we'll see. So let's, Yud Alf and Yud Beis is strictly, and I think Yud Gimel, the Korban Chatas. And then and Yud Dalid will shift us into other korbanos. So let's see how far we can get. Yud Alf. Starting with a kli cheres, an earthenware utensil, shinis bash lebo achatas, hanecholos. Remember, you have two types of chatas. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the chatas you can eat. Yeah. What's going to happen if you're going to eat what you're not supposed to eat, we'll talk about later. But let's just start with a simple case. A korban chatas you can eat, and obviously it's hot meat, it's going to be eaten on a utensil. So if that utensil is an earthenware utensil, ta'un shvira must be broken, there's nothing else we can do. Okay? And
unless
you should probably break it before the time of it would become nosor, I would imagine.
In the Azara.
In the Azara. But Azara, yes. Now, how about not earthenware? Uklimatachos, metalware. Shanis bashlabo, that meat was cooked in it. Ta'un marika ushtifa b'mayim. Needs scrubbing and rinsing with water, bazar and azar, which will be explained in Yud Beis exactly what Marika is and exactly what Shtifa is. We'll explain that clearly. But it also will be an azar. Shenemar, because it says, Ukli cheres asher tevush al bo, an earthenware utensil which you cooked this korban chatas in, yishover shall be broken. Now, wait a minute, it didn't say where. Afal pishol nemar kan b'mokom kodesh, even though it didn't say in a holy place as it did by the blood on the clothing has to be washed in a holy place. That Torah clearly said the Azara. Here it just says break it. But hare dina kedin kibus. The law is just like kibus because it's juxtaposed. It's a hekesh and it follows that halacha. Ma kibus habeged bakodesh, by washing the garment, the Torah clearly said it's done in the Azara. And the very next pasuk says you break the utensils. So av shviras kli cheres, ushtifas kli matachas amrikas bakodesh. So to breaking the earthenware utensils and scrubbing and rinsing the metalware is also done in the Azara. Ve'echad kli shabishol bo, it doesn't matter if it's the utensil that you actually cooked with it. Or let's say you took a big pot of ola stew, right? Chata stew. And now you pour it into the bowls of other bowls. So it doesn't matter. Our vessel was poured into it. L'tochar sech, boiling hot, also needs to get cleaned or koshered. Yud Beis describes these two steps of marika and shetifa for the metalware. Marika bechamin, marika is scrubbing. You have very hot water and you're scrubbing it. It's not like our classical kashrus, because you got to scrape because it's got lots of, what do you call it, grease and fat. You got to scrub. And boiling hot water to get it out. Ushtifa bitzonim, but then rinsing is with cold. Can you rinse it off afterwards with the cold? Now, what do you rinse it with or cook, boil it with? Bamayim, with water. Velo b'yayin, not with wine. Velo b'mezeg, or diluted wine. Velo b'shvar mashkin, not with any other liquids. Okay. V'hamarika v'hashtifa. And this type of scrubbing with hot water and rinsing, it's no different than kemarika sakos v'shtifa, so than scrubbing and rinsing out a cup. That, in other words, you don't have to do it until there could be like a stain. You know what I mean? Just like when you have to clean a kos for benching and things like that. If there's a stain, okay, you don't have to get it out. Just get what's actual residue has to be removed. Now, what about so far? These things are just cooking. What about roasting? Okay, what about for hashapud, spit?
That's not how we kashrut now.
We don't. This is not the same laws of kashering.
It's not kashering.
It's different laws of kashering.
He's getting it out.
These are different laws of kashering. We're not talking about kashrus. We're talking about the base of mikdash. Okay, but that's all you got to do. And even in kashering, if you have a stain on the thing, you don't have to take out the stain.
No, not the stain. I'm saying we use boiling water.
We're using boiling water. You scrub it with hot water.
Hot water isn't boiling.
Chamin is hot. Hot water, hot.
Isn't it going dry, though?
Hot. Okay, we're not going. This is the koshering. You're scrubbing with very hot water. Okay? Now, v'hashpud, a spit, v'askala, and a grill, where now it's roasting, much higher. Magilon b'mayim chayim. You have to do this hagola with hot water. Al-gabayesh, on top of the fire now. You're doing the scrubbing with the hot water on top of a fire. That's going to make it much hotter. V'ach medichon, and then you rinse it off. Okay? So the same thing. In other words, you got over the fire, pouring hot water and scrubbing. I don't know, you must have good gloves, right? And now it's much higher intense heat, but still hot water and scrubbing it all off. Okay. Yud Gimel. Bamed, when do we say all this? That we have to do all this, they got to get it out. That's all assuming that this cooking was done after the animal's blood was sprinkled properly, and this was, everything was kosher at this point. In other words, you're not allowed to eat the animal and do anything with the meat until you sprinkle the blood. Right. So you sprinkled it, now we're dealing with the meat, and we're cooking the meat, fine. Now we have a problem that the blua is a problem. Avalin bishel kodem zrika. What if you started cooking the meat before you sprinkled the blood? Or even decided to cook meat of an animal, a chatas was supposed to be burnt. It's not supposed to be cooking at all. Those two scenarios, since they're not done properly, so there's no, it's possible.
There's no nothing.
So, ain't a ton marika shtifa. Doesn't need marika shtifa. However, their comedies do ask, but wait a minute, there is balu over there. there's something balua in there. Something not good is balua in there. And the Rambam seems to avoid that. So some say, well, maybe you have to do it, but not in the Azorah. Or maybe a lesser degree of kashering is still required. Commentaries struggle with this idea.
But there's no time limit. It's just meat that shouldn't have... You're saying because it shouldn't have been eaten meat. So it has a
but it is some meat, and there's something wrong with it. Something wrong with it. So you want to get that out. So the Rambam doesn't deal with that over here, at least. Last point. Bishel b'miktzas akli. What if only part of the utensil, I don't know how, only part of the utensil got cooked? This was a very long utensil. And I guess maybe you're only using part of the utensil. Well then, kulo tamri kashifa, but the entire utensil, not like blood, the entire utensil has to be because the balua goes through the entire thing. Okay, we're going to stop it over here. Excellent.